Welcome to another episode of the Cloud Architects Podcast. We're continuing our sort of live in-person recordings and episodes here from Redmond. If you hear what sounds like vacuum cleaners or background music or things like that, it's because our production person, post-production person, Mr. Nick, has not been able to remove it from the recording. But B, more importantly, it's because we're actually in public spaces and, you know, we're doing sort of finding little spots where we can actually record and grab guests and actually, you know, just make it happen. So, you know, forgive us for some of those things, but we'll do our best to kind of fix it. But like I said, here again, once again, with Nicholas Blank. How are you doing, Nick?
Hey, Chris. We had half an hour of sunshine today. Not
right.
We noticed because, you know, the wind blew and I think parts of my body fell off because the wind was blowing so cold.
I think my brain's still trying to catch up with my body, right?
That's right.
Like the jet lag has been very real for me this trip, which is kind of weird, but, you know, it is what it is, right?
And I do have to tell you folks that we have been trawling through the corridors and we came across this innocent looking person called Camilla and we dragged her into, this sounds terrible, but we found a place where we could record and we said, you have an interesting story to tell. So Camilla, welcome to the show and tell our audience who you are and what do you do?
Well, hi, thank you. I like that you think I'm innocent. I played you. I did it. I'm kidding.
It worked.
Yeah. I am Camilla Martins. I work for Microsoft as a senior product manager, and I focus on a new Microsoft solution called Security Service Edge, or SSC. And we are getting into this new technology space, so I'm here to talk about that.
Chris, do you know what that is?
Huh. You know, we followed the announcement, right? And I think we actually talked about the announcement specifically on the show, and we had Van Hybrid kind of try and break it down for us just a little bit. I do think it's a new thing, and I think that for a lot of our audience, this technology and this Microsoft breaking into the space is definitely a new thing. So can you, if I'm, you know, I'm first, you know, hearing about this for the first time, what sort of problems or what sort of challenges does it solve for me?
Yeah, so think about SSC itself as a technology space is not very new. It has been happening for a few years. There are plenty of excellent vendors in this space operating. It is new for us as Microsoft. So we are now launching new products, tooling that can align with that type of solution. And the reason why it exists in the world is just to, again, address the constant motion that everything happens, right? So we have users, devices, applications. They used to be in a single place. Then we started securing things. So we were buying appliances and devices that we're putting down in our data centers or in our headquarters to secure the network, to secure the data. But now everything is everywhere. And now you also are running those appliances in other clouds and then in other data centers. And the whole thing just becomes completely crazy. The traffic is going back and forth in multiple directions. Now, sometimes you are also like rerouting traffic far away from you just for the security.
That's
you're
right.
Routing all the way back to where the user was. It just doesn't work. So the SSCs are to solve for that. So basically, it is your traditional security infrastructure running in a cloud service that we are all, any of the vendors will refer it to the edge, right? So the edge is responsible to receive the traffic. It doesn't matter where the user is. It doesn't matter which type of device that the user is using. Traffic goes into the edge. Your edge is smart enough to have whatever security things that you configure that you want to do. And from there, the access is granted to the final destination. So you're no longer having to route traffic far away just to route it right back. You're no longer having to manage so many different appliances in so many different locations for your security needs. Everything is in a central place. Yeah. And this is why this industry exists and why many customers are predicted to actually migrate into this type of solution in this next coming 5 to 10 years.
So there's a more of a context there, and some of that context is that you talked about edge, but that edge could exist in my building or it could exist outside of my building. And what you're able to do from a product point of view is you have an intranet edge and you've got an internet edge. Do you mind just talking us through that?
Well, the edge as a service, so the ones that we would call it that we are offering, would be that external to you, right? So that edge is not something running in your building. It's basically running as a service in our Microsoft infrastructure. And you can count on all of the high availability that we have, the geo availability, right? It's distributed around the world. So you have low latency, or we're expecting to have low latency. And the intranet, so if you have an edge on your own, that is going to be your basic networking egress routes, right? So whatever type of service providers that you have to grant to access to the internet, that would be considered your own, that you manage, that you choose. Yeah. Could even be a 5G connection. It doesn't matter, as long as the user has access to the internet somehow. Now, I don't know if you were alluding to the fact that we can protect applications that are living in the internet and applications that are living in the intranet, or we would call them private apps. Was that more what you were alluding to?
I was going there, and one of the things we can do, for example, or the promise of, is that even though I've got this crusty old, can I call it my 24-year-old attack platform called Active Directory.
What is that? I never heard of it.
I can do modern things inside my existing data center with protocols that were never designed, for example, to have a second factor.
Correct. Correct and pause. Yeah. Just take a breath for drama effect. I am getting very, not surprised, but I'm just kind of in love with that subject a little bit, because it feels like we all know it and it's still happening. It's like it's an old topic and we have had so many solutions come and go or still exist. It doesn't matter. But I'm like, the problem still seems to exist. So the situation is, let's say we used to have our apps running back in the day on-prem. We tend to call them line of business apps.
Yeah.
They may be running whatever protocols that are totally off. They could be that are not traditional HTTP, HTTPS, but who knows?
Okay.
Whatever, some SQL, MySQL backend that you're doing direct connections with a thick client that somebody coded in 1999. I don't know, right?
Yes.
So the point is, you can't, the companies started the motion to migrate or modernize their apps. And then some of these applications, generally, for some reason, they're always important.
Yeah.
Like they're always the ones that your company lives on, and they are just too hard to modernize.
Yeah.
Or if they were to modernize them, they can't take the downtime to do so. So those lingered.
Yes.
They still stay. So even if companies decided to migrate 80% of their stuff and their users and their directories, and they're in the cloud and everything is way more modern, etc., there's still going to be this 2, 3, 4 apps that for some reason can't easily be migrated or cannot be easily secured to the level of security that we need today, because they don't even understand modern auth, right? They're still running who knows what. But that is the solution that we're bringing today. It's one of the two products that is part of the SSE solution is the Microsoft Entra Private Access.
Mm-hmm.
And in our early adoption, during these previews that we've been having, we've seen truly it resolved for these problems that customers have been having. So with private access, you are able to now use the power of conditional access in front of these applications that are running not so traditional ports or protocols, and it will work, TCP, UDP, any types of ports. And you can now say, you know what, even though maybe the app itself living internally in my old, data center.
In it.
Even though it may not understand modern auth and I cannot put MFA in front of it, I keep it tight. I keep it hidden in there in the private network. But I can put now this private access in front of it and with conditional access policy before you can get to it. And then when you put a conditional access policy in front of it, now you get to use whatever amazing features that conditional access policies have, including MFA.
Yeah.
So then you get to say now require MFA via a conditional access policy to this old school app that I just can't put MFA in front of, generally speaking, or not easily.
Dang.
That has been a huge differentiator and is hitting the market customers for sure.
It would, right? Because that's it's a really difficult problem to solve, right? And I've recently been involved in an uplift similar to this, right? Very old application written 15 years ago, using the standards of 15 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uplifting something like that into the cloud is very difficult. and it required still ongoing code changes, authentication changes, right? Because
complete refactoring,
right? Because the alternate solution to that is you have to make it now understand Azure AD and SAP, Entra ID and SAML, right? And those types of modern protocols. It's a difficult thing. So,
did you just say modern protocol and SAML in the same breath?
But I think it makes a lot of sense to be able to provide something like this where you know, those legacy applications, you know, I like the technical debt that you know, a lot of organizations have sort of adopted over the years and collected, having a solution to be able to give them some time to do that refactoring, right? Because ultimately you don't want to stop the process of uplifting your application, because chances are, if it's using legacy authentication methods, there's other stuff within that application that's probably also problematic, right? And so instead of just saying, well, you know, you have to now move this thing in an incredibly quick time, you've got some time to work through it, but we can still protect the application, protect access to the application.
I have a concern with that.
Okay.
Because we all know that this temporary fix becomes permanent.
So, but I agree with you.
Okay.
But I think that the problem has been for so long that it's just no longer, it's not even a temporary patch. It's not even just a Band-Aid anymore. Because these are sometimes critical apps, right? It's the level of impact on the business is just really hard to just make the transition. Even if they had a group of people and time, just the business impact of maybe pausing the operations or causing some disruption in the operation, some companies can't touch that. And who knows the dependencies that those apps might have too. I'm not even getting there because who knows what's behind them. But but I think I agree that there's a risk of saying, oh, now I can secure it so I don't have to ever modernize it, etc. But I wouldn't mind that because, first of all, it's eliminating some, you know, addressing some risk.
You're still better off than you were before.
Right. You're addressing your risk. But it's been like that for a long time. So it's not like they're going to, it's just been like that. So it's going to keep being like that.
You know, to use Tarek's sort of analogy or for this is, you don't have to outrun everyone. You just have to outrun the slowest person, right?
Yes.
If you're being chased by a bear, and we did talk about bears earlier, given our wonderful scenery here. If you're being chased by a bear, you only have to outrun the slowest one, right? And doing something still puts you ahead of folks that
do nothing.
Yes. And technically speaking, like the risk in general, it's always, even though we are very modern and the world is changing, a lot of the times, most of the breaches and hacks and things that happen are the ones that we kind of knew about, are the ones that were like, man, I knew this was at risk or vulnerable. And it's hardly ever, it happens when the 0 days come and when it's something that, wow, a genius came up with this hack and who would have thought of it? It is rare. Like the majority of the issues that we have as security people, I'm calling myself security people, but I am. But I'm like, the majority of issues are generally those that were preventable.
Yeah.
You know, and that we were aware of. So I think investing in that is very valid, especially with the doing, you know, beyond a single layer of authentication can help just prevent so much problems.
I want to ask you, why do we care that Microsoft has an SSE product? There's others in the world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am super honest. Like, I worked for Microsoft, but it is a matter of bringing what we can do that's best for the customer. So, for example, I think it's possible that a Microsoft solution may not be best for every customer, right? But I know it will be excellent for many customers. So we have a couple of things that we're very proud of right now, like our global network. So,
And it's not, I mean, it's a big network, right?
Yes.
We've talked about it in the past and sort of shared some of the statistics of just how large this network is.
Yeah.
It's worth being proud of because it's a pretty impressive network.
And we can rely. So basically this type of service, it's security. Security when a traditional network security thing joining itself with identity, which we are leaders in. And then, so we're like, if we can combine this wealth of knowledge and capabilities that we have in identity, which we are, you know, leading the charts there, we're good. if we can combine that now in with our globally distributed points of presence and bring in solutions that now start aligning with the network security layer without expecting customers to have to manage network traditional network security appliances and things like that, it, combining these two is a huge like lift off of management in probably cost. So that's to me like the big differentiator to say Microsoft can bring that. We have the potential to bring this type of security without introducing introducing latency, without introducing any types of performance issues from a purely, you know, connectivity perspective there around the globe.
Right.
And then you can guarantee that user experience to be whatever you are, you still get the same type of, you know, X to your apps and about the same time and just move on with their life.
So we talked about there being two components to SSE, and then we talked about sort of private access being the first of it. What's the second part of this?
Yes, so the second part is protecting internet applications. And internet applications would be apps that are publicly accessible. So it technically does not matter if it's an application that you run yourself, but it has a public endpoint, or if it's running like at a PaaS type of or SaaS type of cloud. So as long as it's a public endpoint that can be accessed over the public internet, you can also protect those apps. So for that, one example would be a classic secure web gateway type of capability. So like companies that want to make sure we're filtering the traffic to say, and it could be for multiple reasons. It could be just for productivity reasons. They can say, you know what? I do not want you guys on social media all the time. Let me block this down. So the traffic goes into the edge first, because that's your route. So user is working, goes into the edge, says no social media for you, don't go there. Like we wouldn't let you. But then we can do things, similar scenario, but for maybe some bandwidth consumption concerns. So we're like, you know, maybe some people, you're a developer, you love listening to music while you're working at the office, but now we have 300 developers streaming music and coding. And now our whole office internet connection is just like not working very well. So I wanna not allow that. Yeah. So I can say, hey, let's block streaming services for because of a true quality of service concern versus I'm not worried. We don't worry about what you're doing, but we worry about the impacts that it has on the network itself with the bandwidth. So you get to apply those policies from the cloud and control the traffic based on those categories of destinations, right? And you can even layer it with identity controls. So then it will be even cooler to say, you know, if you are a marketing person, if you're in this marketing group, then it's okay for you to go to social media because that's part of your role. But if you're everybody else, let's focus on the job and block social media for those folks. So now you're starting to layer that's the connection I was saying is a network security, traditional secure web gateway filtering situation on top of making those decisions based on identity. So you can do that all through integration with conditional access.
It's starting to sound very much like zero trust. Well, actually, before we go down that route, because you're talking about edges, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I need an appliance?
No. I'm like, complicated answer. yes and no. So right now, you're going to say, well, how does, if I have a user with their phone or with their computer, how does that device know that the traffic have to make it to the Microsoft Edge where the security policies are applied? So there are a couple of deployment models that we have. One of them requires an agent. We are working on getting this agent fully integrated so it's easy, so you don't have to work on distributing it manually. But in these preview stages that we are right now, you can go online, find the agent. It's called Global Secure Access Client. We have it available for testing on Windows platform and on Android platform with more OS's operating systems being supported soon. That agent is going to run on that machine, and that agent is authenticated with your user that is on Entra ID or hybrid joined or Entra ID joined. And then it pulls all the configuration settings that you define as an administrator, and that's how the machine knows how to go to the edge depending on the traffic that you define. Mm-hmm. The second model is an agentless model. The second model, we call it remote networks. Mm-hmm. And for that one, I wouldn't call it an appliance, but you do need a traditional network device. It could be a router or it could be a next generation firewall. As long as this device supports IPsec tunneling standard protocols, so we use IKE version 2, IPsec tunneling, and it should support BGP routing also. Mm-hmm. That is a great scenario for protecting like computers that are living in a single place. So think about yourself if you have, you know, a bunch of supermarkets, or if you have bank branches, and those computers are always there. No one takes that computer at the end of the, right? They don't go home with that computer. That computer stays there. Mm. IoT devices, anything. There are some printers. There might be some point of sales equipment. Mm. Those devices that are on that network can be protected by having that router, right? With the IPsec tunnel, as long as it's within the same network. We are going to teach that those devices traffic via BGP routing that are going to be advertised, traffic goes to the edge. Mm. So that one is cool. It's agentless. You don't have to install anything agent-wise on the machine, but it does require now a network equipment at the site. But it works great for those static branch-style customer businesses.
But it sounds like in that scenario, you probably already have equipment there because you're providing internet access of some sort anyway.
Unless you have a router from 1992.
Right. But also, I think that also sounds like that is something that then would support weird and random operating systems that maybe the agent doesn't support,
correct,
right? So if you have, you know, Raspberry Pis doing some sort of controller or, you know, in your refrigerator, you could still sort of, you know, I don't know why
you still have those Pis in your refrigerator, dude.
You know. Yep. Well, you know, you would have pies in the refrigerator.
But I don't think you're supposed to eat those Raspberry Pis.
Well, they are very crunchy for some reason. Yes, the metal's delicious.
Oh. Yes, but you know, if you had some sort of IoT device that had to report into Azure, for example, for telemetry purposes, this sounds like a great solution for that. Mm-hmm. Whereas for folks who maybe to have a laptop and are going home to work 3 days a week, the agent might be a better choice because, you know, it didn't matter where their traffic was coming from. If they had the agent, it's going to still...
Correct. And exactly that. So it is about understanding how the customer works. Like, what is your user base like? Where are you working from? Which types of devices are you using? What is the estate that you're protecting? Mm. And then you say there are a couple of architecture models. Do they fit? Do you use only one of them? Do you use both of them? We don't know, but it's a conversation that we have to solve for that customer need, right? And that goes back to me, like when you're saying, why Microsoft? You know, it's like always to me, it always is customer first. So I was like, analyze what you need. Analyze the solutions that are available to you. They could be any of the other vendors in the market for this. They could be Microsoft, and you're going to find a good match. And then you can find a good match based on many other things, right? There's actual technical capabilities. There may be some licensing. There may be some cost. There is like, I've seen so many customers just really wanting to be vendor consolidated. Mm. So a customer may even consider the Microsoft option because they're like, you know what? It's much easier for me to just manage. I'm already managing so much of my security via Microsoft. It's easier for me to actually manage one more of these now here instead of, you know, going somewhere else. So that also happens, actually. It's a factor for decision.
Yeah. So is this any sort of XDR type benefits here? Because you've got, you know, you've got alerts and signaling coming potentially out of this as well that can roll up into your Sentinel instance and you know.
But we don't want to mix XDR and SIEM in this instance because we're not defending an endpoint. We're defending a network edge. So it's not really truly XDR or is it?
I think it aligns, you know, because XDR should account for multiple types of signals that come from multiple types of resources. So now you can think about this as adding network signals to your XDR. So now you're saying I have, besides understanding my device endpoint signals, now I also have my identity signals that I've always had. And now I can also add some network layer signals there. And your XDR can make decisions based on that, or at least inform you on unusual behavior or anything that might be happening. So running SSE will be in that case, you know, from an operational perspective, from a SOC perspective, it will be bringing more data points for the defense layer to keep an eye out and say what's going on, where are people connecting from, where are they connecting to, right? And it will just add more information, more signals to a solution of that sort.
Is that something we can say for sure? We will see SSE signals in a Microsoft XDR console?
I think that it's a little early for me to tell you. I know that that is definitely part of the plan.
Okay.
But I don't have a date or when or how, but it's a huge consideration because it's supposed to empower not only, well, it's supposed to be layered like the user experience. Mm-hmm. So the user should be able to just go connect to private app, public app. They don't know. They don't need to turn anything on and off. They don't need to do anything, basically. It just works for them.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be easier for the admin. So the admin is now maybe consolidating, managing everything from a single place. Don't have to worry about, you know, too many appliances or distributed things. That's it. And then if you have the Defender, now you're enabling the Defender if you have a SOC running and monitoring what's happening in your environment, keeping an eye on threats, keeping an eye on unusual behavior. That is part of our whole story. So we are enabling all of these different personas with this new tool, and they will gain visibility of items that they didn't before to improve their XDR capabilities.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, look, for me, conditional access is such a powerful tool, right?
Yeah.
So anytime you can integrate, we can integrate new things into CA. I think that's I love that personally, because that's very, you know, that's the work I do. That's a lot of the stuff I do with customers is build out those types of layered defenses, right?
And, yeah.
And so I really love it anytime we can integrate and use it. So
Chris, it sounded like you wanted to ask a zero trust question. In fact, you were at the pool, you had your shorts on, and then I dragged you back from the water. And we were talking about zero trust. What did you want to ask?
Well, it's unheard of, actually, because you are the zero trust. You're ZT Nick, right? I was essentially, what I was asking was, it sounded like this very much sort of obeys the principles of zero trust, right? And am I right in thinking that at least some of the solution is very much zero trust aware or zero trust focused?
Yes, you're right. So this type of solution definitely aligns with zero trust principles. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to internet access, obviously it's verifying that you're the user, that you're coming from the device that you are, going to the destination that you're allowed to. It's consistently checking for that. But I think when we talk private access, it gets even deeper, right? So private access now having micro tunnels, you can do per app types of access that you can control. And it's really aligning with the ZTNA concept. So zero trust network access, which we're now applying to those internal private corporate apps, which historically have been known to have, you know, lateral movement, free for all kind of a situation, when it's like, okay, I grant you access to my private app. My private app lives in my corp internal network. Mm-hmm. But once you're in there, technically, if you want to scan around, look around, jump to the side server over there, you know, a lot of times the companies internally are not fully segmented, and then you get the lateral movement. So private access definitely brings that improvement there, which is a total ZTNA solution, being able to just do a little bit micro segmentation, and we're going to continue to improve on that as we go. Mm. I think that's a good spiel for me to remind everybody that these things I'm talking about are available for testing hands-on right now. So like if you go to the Microsoft documentation, look up Microsoft SSE solution, intra-private access, intra-internet access, global secure access, all of the above, you will find step-by-step instructions on how to deploy this, how to test it, and you can see if it's a good solution for your needs too.
That sounds an awful lot like that's an enterprise thing, but what about our small customers? Is that, if I'm too small, can I not play in this?
Not at all. I would say it works great for both. So from these learnings and tests, we've been running really closely with customers. We've seen satisfaction from both sides, right? So this type of solution can work for an enterprise customer that is already quite mature in their security journey. You know, they are just improving and improving on top of that. That's great. But it works greatly for smaller customers too, because it's easily configurable, right? So your handling, you're able to just kind of handle everything in one place. Yeah. The portal configuration settings are very, very easy for you to understand how the policies are applied. Mm-hmm. A lot of these customers are already using conditional access policies. So that's just like another layer on top of that. So you're already kind of used to what you're dealing with anyways, just expanding it a little bit more. And a lot of times we're seeing that it's perfectly like right-sized for small customers too. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes the best in class in the market is not what you need.
Yeah.
Right? Like you do not need to pay top dollar for the best thing with all of these extremely advanced capabilities when sometimes you need the basics. And like alluding to what we spoke before, I don't know, the 80-20 rule. Probably 80% of the breaches or the security issues that somebody can have is going to be resolved by a 20% settings over here and here and there. So small businesses are adopting this. They are using it. I would highly recommend you look into it. It's for everyone.
That sounds amazing. I want to get personal for a moment, if I may.
I'm kidding. You can do it.
So you were extremely interested in languages.
Mm-hmm.
And you went from an interest in languages to being a security nerd.
Mm-hmm.
How?
I don't know how. It was a life took me to this, I think. So I always loved languages since I was a child. You know, I am from Brazil. Portuguese is my native language. By the time I was 14, I could speak English and Spanish fluently already. I was like trilingual and I keep on learning. I never stop. But my first job ever was as an English teacher as a second language.
Wow.
So I used to teach English in Brazil to my fellow Brazilians, and I got into IT as a Windows 2000 server administrator because I spoke English. So the company that hired me, a huge manufacturing company, was like, we need people to monitor our Windows server infrastructure, and we don't care what you know, we just need you to speak English fluently. That's what they needed. And they're like, we'll teach you, train me on the job.
Mm.
So I got taught on the job. I got an NCSA back in the day, whatever. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But that's how I started. But from there, from doing that first IT job, the security thing just kind of like happened naturally. I think I was given an opportunity by one of my managers at some point. He just saw the way I worked. And he said, you're very focused on keeping things tidy, keeping things clean. You know, like, so I wanted to start driving some of the security, internal security practices for the small company. And that's how I started. But that's been like 16 years.
Yeah. Wow. We love to hear everyone's journey and how they kind of get to where they all got to where they are. Right. Because I think for a lot of us, it was a very straight line. Like for me, I always knew the IT, you know, since I was 15 years old. IT was always going to be what I did, right? And it's just a sort of very straight line. But it's great to hear these stories of folks who kind of go into, you know, the arts or into something else and sort of find their way almost sort of as if being pulled, right?
Yeah.
I love it. I love hearing those types of stories.
It was a surprise for me, actually. Yeah. Not only did I not know or ever thought about it, not because, and I say this, like, it's not because somebody told me I it wasn't for me. It just never really happened, really. Mm. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I fought it. So when I got offered the job, so first of all, it was my friend that said, Camila, sign up for this job. It paid double than the teaching job paid. They're like, sign up. I'm like, I'm not going to go. I don't know anything. And they're like, it doesn't matter. You meet the criteria. The criteria is English.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I went, I got the job. When the hiring manager told me I got the job, I actually said, did you notice on my resume that I don't know anything about computers? And I understand the concepts that you explained to me about the role. But I don't know any of this.
Yeah.
And the manager had to tell me.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand. But he said, Camila, I can teach you if you're interested in, you know, I can teach you the computer stuff and the job in 6 months. Mm. But I cannot teach somebody to be fluent in English in 6 months.
Right.
Yeah, so they could be a master computer person.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. So I was like, okay. And it worked for me.
Yeah.
That was a surprise to me, like that I actually did very well on the technology
That's
aspect.
Awesome.
Of things.
Yeah. There's so much talk of like gatekeeping in our industry, right? And you know, all of that type of stuff. And it just shows like you don't have to have a traditional like, you know, I'm going to go to university to do information security or information whatever. and sort of progress up the ladder that way. There are other paths kind of into this industry. I love it. It's awesome.
Every single one of our guests has struggled with some form of imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I good enough to do what I do? And would you speak to the person who's listening to you going, could I do cyber? Could I do security? What would you tell them?
I fell out of that. I'm like, I'm not going to buy this anymore about me feeling, because the feeling exists, but I'm not going to listen to it. And yes, you can do cyber. I say this to everybody in any job, by the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter if you're an accountant. It doesn't even matter if you are a cook. I don't know. Cyber is everywhere because you just have to be attentive. You just have to pay attention on all the things that are not really supposed to be happening in my environment right now. It happens everywhere. And for the people that are trying to get into cyber, I say the same. I'm like, there is something in what you do that is security related. Just start doing that, like on the side. Okay, so if, you're a printer admin. Okay, you're fixing printers all day long, no problem. Start seeing where these printers connect to. Are they connecting to your corp network? Are they VLANed out? Start telling your architects, hey, did you know that this printer is connecting to our backend databases? And, you know, like, and these printers haven't been patched in 20 years?
Yeah.
Tell them that. See where it takes you, because it will take you somewhere. Like, take a little project that aligns, and you will find a security-related thing in anything you do.
That's true.
That's my tip. Get started. Don't be afraid. You will surprise yourself on how much you could know that you didn't know you could know. You're just going to do it.
That's awesome.
We should ask the plug question.
Yes.
I don't know what that is. Now I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid. Well, you've shared a lot of great information, I guess, on the episode. And you know, we'll put all the links in the show notes for people who need to visit and see. But is there anything else that you wanted to sort of share or plug, you know, before we wrap up the episode? Any great resources, any other tips, anything like that?
Twitter handles, social medias.
If you want to get out, yes.
Follow me. Well, you can definitely follow me. No, you can just add me on LinkedIn. I love the LinkedIn platform to keep in touch. See what you guys see what I'm doing. You can get in touch with me. I see what you're doing. I get in touch with you. So it's Camila C. Martins at the end of the LinkedIn, you know, URL. And I like to say there is an aka.ms/ssc deploy. This is our POC, a proof of concept guide. So it will give you step by step all of the pre-requirements for you to run this and POC it yourself. Go there, check it out, run a lab, see if it works for you. And I think that's pretty much it. If you are a Microsoft services partner, Microsoft partner that provides services to customers, I am working on enabling you to have everything you need to bring this to your customers. So you can also reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's perfect. And then we can work on the site for that. I get you in with the private previews and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So reach out.
I just want to say to any of the Microsoft partners who are listening to this that there is an awesome preview program, not just for Microsoft partners, but also for customers. And if you're a Microsoft partner, you should be on those previews, and that, if memory serves me, is aka.ms/CCP.
CCP, possibly, yes.
Could be. If I got it wrong, I'll correct in the show notes.
Perfect.
All right.
Well, we know you've got an audience waiting for you, and you've got to run.
Quite literally.
So, I know. Oh, my God.
So we will let you go. 5 minutes before earlier than promised.
I'll be on time. I'll be ready with my AV problems coming us back.
Yes. But we want to thank you for taking the time to speak to us. We've had technical difficulties on this show, and you've just cruised through those. So thank you so much. And when the product is ready, we'd maybe like to talk to you again.
I would love that.
Perfect.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you for your obrigado.
De nada.
Hey, everyone. Before you go, we just wanted to say thank you for listening. We really enjoy putting this podcast together for you every 2 weeks. Please visit us at thearchitects.cloud. Alternatively, drop us a tweet. We'd love to hear what you have to say. @thecloudarch.